Florida's annual state lawmaking session begins soon, and no matter where you are in the Sunshine State, what happens in Tallahassee will affect you. From voting trouble to the quality of public education, from the skyrocketing cost of property insurance to expanding health care for the state's uninsured, from the right to stand your ground to ethics and campaign reform. It's all on the table in the Capitol this year, and before lawmakers take their turn, you can have your say. Hello and welcome to Town Hall 2013, a WLRN Miami Herald News special. I'm Phil Latzman. We are at the Broward Center for the Performing Arts in Fort Lauderdale. And today we're joined by two key members of the Florida Legislature, Republican State Senator Jack Latvala of Clearwater and Democratic State Senator Chris Smith of Fort Lauderdale. Plus, the Miami Herald's Capitol Bureau Chief, Mary Ellen Kloss. But our most important guests are you. You've told us what really matters, and it's you who will set the agenda for our discussion on the state of the state next. And I'm Phil Latzman. Welcome to our WLRN Miami Herald News special, a town hall meeting on Florida's Session 2013. We are at the Broward Center for the Performing Arts. And first, again, thanks to the nearly 1,000 people who RSVP'd for this groundbreaking event designed to get you ready for the state's upcoming legislative session. This was designed as an exercise in civic engagement. The response has been phenomenal, so please give yourselves a big hand. And now to introduce our distinguished panel. Senator Jack Latvala is a Clearwater-based Republican who serves as chair of the Senate Ethics and Elections Committee. He also serves on key appropriations committees tasked with setting the state's upcoming fiscal year budget, plus on rules, gaming, and judiciary. Senator Latvala, thanks for traveling all the way from Clearwater to be with us here today.
Thank you for having me.
Senator Chris Smith did not have to travel quite as far. He is a Fort Lauderdale-based Democrat who serves as the state Senate's minority leader. He is also vice chair of both the Rules and Criminal Justice Committees. He also sits on the Governmental Oversight and Accountability Committee and several key appropriations committees himself. Senator Smith, welcome to you.
Thank you.
And Mary Ellen Kloss is State Capitol Bureau Chief for the Miami Herald. She has been hard at work getting ready for the state's annual lawmaking session. She's covered just about everything that comes out of Tallahassee that affects your life as you read about it on the pages of the Miami Herald. She is an integral part of our statewide Session 2013 coverage, seen in newspapers and heard on public radio stations throughout the state. And Mary Ellen has joined us all the way from Tallahassee. Thank you for being here.
It's great to be here. Thanks.
And we want to especially thank the folks at Global Integrity for making this event possible. Global Integrity is a D.C. think tank that promotes transparency and accountability in governments. You can find out more about what they do and the great work they do at globalintegrity.org. Thank you so much for sponsoring this event. So let's begin with the culture gap, the distance gap. Many people have sort of jokingly and perhaps not so jokingly suggested that the state should be separated into two, North Florida and South Florida. Obviously, that's radical thinking. Wait. But there are two different Floridas. And are they sort of regionally based? And we'll ask our guest from Clearwater, Jack Latvala, Senator, are there two different Floridas?
Well, my problem is that I come from halfway up, so I'm not real sure whether I'd go with the South or with the North if that happens. I kind of probably have a foot in both camps. I think there is definitely a split in philosophy and in approach to a lot of things. Probably a little further than halfway up the state, though. Probably we call it the sweet tea line, and the sweet tea line is probably around the Withlacoochee River. So it goes across the state up there. Maybe the Suwannee River.
Suwannee River. And Senator Smith, you're from right next door here in Fort Lauderdale. Is there a disconnect between North and South Florida?
Oh, most definitely. And actually, I'd make it four Floridas. You got North,
You got Central, Southwest, and Southeast. And you can tell by the legislators that are elected and the type of ideas that come out of these areas that Florida is a very diverse state with diverse thoughts and people.
And Mary Ellen, you've covered these legislators for many years. You know the differences between the two parts of the state. If they're two parts or four parts, this is a multifaceted place that we live in, isn't it?
And that's what makes this a great place to be a reporter, and a great place because, you know, we always hear about how Florida is a microcosm of the nation. What happens in Florida is often a bellwether of what happens elsewhere. And I think because of our diversity and this, distinction between different regions, we become a little bit of a petri dish, and a lot of what happens in the Florida legislature is things that will be echoed in other parts of the nation.
Now, according to a recent poll by Quinnipiac University conducted in December, the Florida legislature has a 35% approval rating, 44% disapproval rating. That is just about where Governor Rick Scott ranks. Where's the room for improvement, Senator Smith?
By getting another governor.
Okay. Well, but that's not going to happen for another 2 years.
Well, I think being more responsive to the people, a lot of times, because Tallahassee is so far away from the majority of the people, we get in Tallahassee and forget about those that we serve south of North Florida. And so I think being a little more responsive, and I know we're going to talk about property insurance and other issues later, I think by actually doing something and lowering rates, I think our approval rating will go up.
We're going to talk about citizens and the skyrocketing cost of property insurance. Senator Latvala, why a 35% approval rating for the Florida legislature? We should note that the U.S. Congress is much lower than that, they have to maybe to aspire to your ratings. But why the discrepancy in popularity?
Well, that's what I was going to point out, is we are still about three times better than Congress. And, I think we've had a tough 2 years. Both in the executive branch and in the legislative branch in Florida, people adopted term limits a few years ago, and I think that over the last few years we've seen what term limits have really meant to the legislative process. We've got a lot more younger, less experienced people running the legislature. And then, people want to elect non-politicians as our leaders. It's always a good way to get elected to claim to not to be a politician or a professional politician, and that's one of the ways that Governor Scott got elected. But when we elect people like that, we have to give them a little learning curve. If they're not politicians, if they don't know what's going on in Tallahassee, then it takes them a little time to get up to speed, and I think that's what we've had happening over the last couple years. I certainly look forward to a next 2 years that's a lot better than the last 2 years.
Mary Ellen, the governor, the legislature, both unpopular right now. How does that set the stage for the upcoming session?
Right. And one of the things that I think the leadership of this legislature has identified is that they're starting with the premise that people have a lack of trust in their legislature. So one of the first things out the door that you'll see, I think, them work on is this ethics reform. It's, I think, a conscious attempt to try and persuade people that they should be trusted a little bit more, and we'll see where that goes.
And that is another one of our topics we'll be discussing later, is ethics reform. So this is not an election year. This would seem to indicate, senators, that maybe things could get done this year, since there are not many, if not any, representatives or senators are running for office. Is this a year that things can actually get done? Senator Latvala?
I look forward to a very productive year. Senator Gates has got a very, very good start. He's a mature, intelligent, well-meaning leader who's done a lot of things in life, built a business, been a school superintendent, been a school board member, as well as now being in the Senate, and I think he's going to do a really very good job.
Senator Don Gates, the Senate president coming in. Senator Smith, you're a Democrat. You're still in the minority in the Florida legislature when it comes to getting things done. How does a Democrat, and by the way, the majority is not as large as it was on the Republican side, thanks to the elections, but how does a Democrat get things done in Tallahassee?
Well, in the Senate, it's a little different. And to echo what Senator Lotvala said, I think that the tone and the flavor is a little different in the legislature this year from ethics reform and a lot of the issues that we're going to discuss. We've had tremendous input throughout the day, not only Democrats, but Republican leadership are constantly in and out of my office to see what is the Democratic position on this bill. How can we get to 35 votes? How can we get to 40 votes? And I've actually spent more time with Senator Lotvala than I have some of my own members as he tries to get ethics reform to be a bipartisan bill and elections reform. So I think this is a good year to try and get things done.
Working with the Public Insight Network, we have some guests in the audience that have questions on this very topic, and I believe we have a lady who is first at the microphone. Welcome.
My name is Julia Fitzpatrick, and I'm from Boca Raton. My question is, the Fair District Amendment was approved by the voters. Please give an update of the changes that it has brought about, if any, in making legislative districts in the state fair and equitable. Registered Democrats outnumber Republicans statewide, but the legislature is Republican-controlled.
Okay. Senator Lotvala, as far as the amendments are concerned, you guys spent a lot of time last year redistricting the state, and there haven't been too many complaints, have there?
Well, there was a net gain for the Democrats in both the House and the Senate. I think on the stage here, you're looking at two people whose districts got substantially compacted by the redistricting process. Senator Smith used to represent a district that started in Broward County in the Fort Lauderdale area and went all the way to West Palm Beach. I used to represent a district that had both Pinellas and Hillsborough County in it, and we've now both got single county districts. The districts are much more compact. You know, we can't help how people vote. We can't make them vote a certain way in a certain district. But, you know, I think the districts, you just look at a map and you see a lot of difference in the way the districts look.
You're listening to our WLRN Miami Herald News special. It's our town hall for session 2013, and we'll continue in just a moment. Welcome back to our WLRN Miami Herald News special, a town hall meeting on Florida's Session 2013. I'm Phil Latzman. We are at the Broward Center for the Performing Arts here with Senator Jack Lotvala from Clearwater, a Republican. Senator Chris Smith from his own backyard here in Fort Lauderdale, a Democrat and the minority leader in the state Senate. And Mary Ellen Kloss, who is the Miami Herald's Capitol Bureau Chief. Let's move on now to another major topic, especially for those who are coastal residents of the state, no matter where you are, and that is the matter of property insurance.
My name is Joseph Felt. I'm from Wilton Manors, Florida, and property insurance is important to me because of the cost. It's an irritation that the house that I live in has a hip roof. I have all impact windows, new impact doors, and still my rate is quite high.
Thank you, Joseph. We hear every day, and I hear from neighbors, and I have a citizens policyholder who just got transferred off to private insurance myself. I hear from people all the time about the skyrocketing cost of property insurance, and Citizens has been in the news a lot lately. Governor Scott recently lashed out at the executives for what he called foolish behavior after we heard about pay raises of as much as $30,000 for Citizens executives, reported by the Herald Times Tallahassee Bureau. Citizens, of course, the insurer of last resort for 1.3 million Floridians. It's been in the news for lavish travel spending, raising premiums for many of its customers. A lot of people are outraged by this.
Senator Smith, you've heard, I'm sure, from many of your constituents about the rising cost of property insurance. State-run citizens and many people say they're being forced out of their homes because it's so expensive.
That's what the message that we're taking to Tallahassee. We've spent a lot of time in Tallahassee talking about property insurance, and you get a whole lot of people and bills on property insurance, but what we have to realize is that people are being insured out of their houses, not property taxed out of their house. They're being insured out of their houses. And quite frankly, my insurance more than doubled last year under Citizens. So we're looking for ideas. I can honestly tell you there are a lot of ideas floating around. None of them are perfect. And this is one where, I mean, I've been going around asking people for ideas. We've asked the governor to maybe look at joining with other states, other coastal states, and sharing the risk, coming up with our own compact amongst the states to share some of the risk, because that's the only way to get rates down. The rates are according with the risk. And if we can share it now with Hurricane Sandy going all the way up to New Jersey, other states see now that they are in cones for disasters, and if we can somehow share the risk and create our own compact with other states, that would bring down some of the risk and allow us to bring down some of the rates.
Senator Latvala, one of the things you and Senator Smith have in common is you both live near the coast. You're in Clearwater, have a lot of people near the water, and certainly we've dealt with sea level rise and climate change and other things beyond just property insurance, but may make the problem even worse. So why does property insurance keep going up even though we have not had a major hurricane? And I know in the Tampa area for many, many, many years, decades, and here in South Florida at least since 2005.
Well, what has exacerbated the problem in our area is, in addition to the hurricane risk, we've also had a very substantial problem with sinkholes on the west coast of Florida. And that led to, you know, some increases in premiums and changing the way sinkholes are done. But, you know, the amount of money that Citizens was getting in premium for sinkhole coverage was like a third of what they were having to expend for sinkhole claims. And obviously you can't stay in business and do that. I think what has happened in the administration of Citizens is unconscionable. And it made my week last Friday when I was driving home from Tallahassee and I discovered that the president of Citizens has to come before my committee for confirmation in order to stay as president of Citizens. So I look forward to asking the president of Citizens a number of questions under oath about some of those travel expenses and some of those other issues.
All right, let's go to the audience. A lot of passionate responses, I'm sure, on this issue as you get your property insurance bill. Welcome.
I'm Barbara Ruge, and I'm from Oakland Park. I am a realtor, and many first-time home buyers cannot buy a home, largely in part due to the high cost of property insurance. But my question is this today. Why is it legal that Florida Peninsula Insurance, a private insurer, can assume your Citizens policy without giving you premium price quotes and amount of coverage before you are able to opt out?
Sounds like a question you might want to ask during one of your committee meetings, Senator Latvala, about Citizens.
Well, the ironic thing is I actually have a bill in bill drafting that would require them to do that, but it's probably not going to go anywhere. I am going to work with Senator Simmons to see if we can get that included as a feature of the big Citizens bill. But House members can only sponsor six bills at a time, and I'm out of House members that have open slots. So no reason to have a separate bill on that issue without a House sponsor.
All right. Let's see. One more question from our Public Insight Network audience. With the lack of oversight and blatant excesses of Citizens and the influence of the insurance lobby on the legislature, many Floridians have been priced out of insurance coverage. The insatiable greed of the insurance companies has forced many retirees and fixed-income homeowners to drop their property insurance. This comes from Richard McCormick from Miami, and this has been circulated a lot. People are considering taking money out of their savings to pay off their mortgages so that they don't have to be insured by Citizens and pay those huge rates. Now, that could be looked at both ways. You're paying off debt, but at the same time, you're also getting rid of your savings. That's a really tough decision for people to have to make if you have the money to be able to do that, Senator Smith.
And it just hurts my heart, as I said before. We're looking for ideas. I mean, we've tried everything. Senate Bill 408 a couple of years ago, I held my nose and voted for it, thinking that it would help us. The legislature has tried many bills through the years to try and do something, and I wish I could sit here and say we have the magic pill that this year is the year that we've got this one issue we're going to tackle. I can only say that legislators are trying, and I think even those that have been voting, you know, with the insurance companies for the last couple of years have even come around, and this is the year that everyone's trying to get to a way to lower the premiums and lower and make sure at least keep premiums the same. And I feel bad for someone that has to do that. I feel bad when I was told that my insurance had more than doubled, and we're feeling the pain out here. And I can tell you, as a legislature, in this year, this is the year that I think all of us are looking for ideas, looking for anything we can do to get these rates lowered.
Many of the legislators who have been in positions to work on these bills and so forth live in the interior or the northern part of the state, and they can still get State Farm insurance coverage. And there's not a real keen understanding in some parts of the legislature on the challenges that those of us that represent coastal areas have.
All right, and up to the skybox, where our Tallahassee reporter Gina Jordan is standing by, and she's been reading some of the comments we've been getting from listeners and readers. Gina?
Ernesto on Twitter wonders, as the size of Citizens' property insurance is reduced, can homeowners be assured the same or lower premiums? And Julio in Miami says, the cost of property insurance is out of control. As a senior citizen and homeowner, my choices are very limited. I want transparency in the financial management of Citizens. It should not be treated as a private corporation.
Thank you, Gina. And as it relates to state integrity, the folks at Global Integrity, who are sponsoring this event here at the Broward Center tonight, have given, in fact, the Florida Integrity Investigation revealed a C-minus for independence of its state insurance regulators. There's no requirement for the service commissions made up by the governor and elected cabinet to recuse because of conflicts. And the senior staff at the Office of Insurance Regulation is not required to avoid conflicts. The commission is made up of political figures who appoint the commissioners. And also, we saw that Florida received a D for public access to information from state integrity because no agency monitors compliance with disclosure laws. So are those things, Senator Latvala, you want to respond?
Well, I'm very happy to be able to say that Senate Bill number 2, which will be the first piece of legislation taken up by the Senate next Tuesday when we go into session, will in fact prohibit a person, any public officer, any elected public officer anywhere from voting on an issue in which they have a financial benefit or a financial interest.
And we can all agree that hopefully things can be changed with property insurance in the state of Florida. You are listening to our WLRN Miami Herald News special town hall meeting on Florida's Session 2013. We're at the Broward Center for the Performing Arts. I'm Phil Latzman here with Senator Jack Latvala from Clearwater, Senator Chris Smith here from Fort Lauderdale, and Mary Ellen Kloss, who is the Miami Herald's Tallahassee Bureau Chief. On to the issue of health care.
My name is Julio Cesar Diaz from Alopata, right here in Miami. Health insurance is important to me because most of my extended family, even some immediate family, don't have health coverage. Something as simple as breaking a leg, which happens all the time, could literally set them back thousands of dollars.
Thank you, Julio. So the state Senate senators seem to be ready to expect expansion of Medicaid as the governor, Rick Scott, who was once vehemently opposed to the idea a couple of years ago, has done an about-face on this, but your colleagues in the State House may not be so ready to do that. Is there a chance to find some middle ground on Medicaid expansion to cover a million people who are currently uninsured in the state? Senator Latvala?
Well, I certainly hope so. You know, the taxpayers are paying the cost of a lot of health care anyway, in indigent care and emergency rooms and the trauma centers and so forth. And the Medicaid expansion would provide a way of doing that in a more organized fashion and potentially a more cost-efficient fashion, because people theoretically wouldn't wait until the last minute and have to go to the emergency room. You know, preventative care and as problems start, they could be addressed rather than waiting until the end. I think that the governor, you know, we learn, it's a constant evolving process learning about this bill that was passed by Congress. One of the things we learned is that the funds that currently are afforded to the state from the federal government for a lot of that indigent care, the LIP funds, aren't going to be available anymore. So, you know, it's not just a matter of getting some additional money from a Medicaid expansion. It's to try to replace some of the things that that bill is going to take away from us.
Mary Ellen Kloss, it has been an amazing transition for Governor Rick Scott over the past couple of years. Of course, he ran on the platform of the anti-Obamacare, anti-Affordable Care Act. He recently has become a bit more of a realist since the Supreme Court upheld the ruling. But is it remarkable to have seen the governor's transition on the issue of Medicaid expansion? And there was some conflict about how much it would cost, and that all seems to have been worked out.
The governor is turning some heads. I heard today that at the National Governors Association, there are some other governors who have looked to Rick Scott's change of heart and are starting to use that as maybe a barometer of maybe they might be more willing to accept Medicaid expansion in their states. It's an interesting dynamic for this governor since he came into politics on the sole purpose of defeating Obamacare. And now he is in a situation where he is embracing the one piece that he has an option to reject.
We'll move on to some live questions from our audience here at the Broward Center. And down to the crowd we go. Sir, what's your name?
My name is Elroy John. I currently work two jobs but do not carry health insurance due to the nature of my employment. One job is grant funded and the other is part-time. I'm concerned that the state's delays in implementing the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, affectionately known as Obamacare, will result in greater expense for me in the long run. Will we have access to health care exchanges?
Senator Smith, you want to answer that one?
Well, I think the answer is yes, especially with the, as mentioned before, the governor becoming a realist and putting policy over politics. We move forward. The state Senate and the governor, I think, are poised to move forward and start accepting the Patient Protection Affordable Care Act and the Medicaid expansion part of it, which will do a tremendous job in making sure that you are insured, that you no longer have to use the emergency room as your primary care physician. So we are moving forward as a state, and the Senate, along with the governor, will push the House into moving forward and doing what's right, taking out the politics and the rhetoric, as Senator Latvala said. That's the only way we can move forward. Without taking the Medicaid expansion, our public hospitals are in dire straits and possibly closed down.
Another question from our audience. Sir, welcome.
Yes, I'm Bob Mandel from Miami, Florida.
Ira Niesman, Miami, Florida.
Hi, I'm Carlos from Miami, Florida.
Now, what do the three of us have in common?
All of us live in fear, not knowing if our basic health care needs will be met.
I'm 60 years old, and I have no health insurance, and no one will hire me.
I'm 55 years old and currently between jobs, and I have no health insurance.
I'm 25, a student and a consumer, and in 1 year I will no longer be covered by my parents' health insurance plan.
Will you consider Medicaid expansion for us, and if not, why?
All right, Senator Latvala, very well done. Very well done. What do you say to that trio?
I think I already answered that. I came out, I think I was probably the first Republican member of the Senate that was quoted in the paper on Thursday or Friday after the governor came out, and I support the governor's plan.
All right, thank you. One more question on this, because it's important. We heard, and this just comes from Margaret in Miami, who writes that there's a Georgetown report about Medicaid expansion in Florida that would actually save the state money in coming years, that Medicaid expansion would save the state money, not cost it money, as Governor Scott had said recently, that it would cost the state billions and billions of dollars, and that was, he later corrected himself and said it wouldn't cost that much. So, Senator, think that this could actually save the state money in the long run? Could you be that optimistic?
In the short term, the state of Florida spends over a billion dollars with uninsured coverage at our local hospitals. We're talking Jackson Memorial in Miami, North Broward, South Broward Hospital District. So already we're spending over $1 billion for those 1.2 million people that are uninsured. And then you add the hundreds of million dollars we spend when it comes to mental health, when it comes to giving health care to prisoners. We spend almost $100 million insuring prisoners to get health care. So the three gentlemen that spoke before that can't get coverage, prisoners get coverage, and we pay for it. So in the short term, definitely, all of those dollars we're spending now on uninsured and for mental health and for prisoners, a lot of that get wiped away because we're getting the cover through the federal government through the Affordable Health Care Act. So, yes, in the definite immediate future, we save $1 billion.
And you are listening to a WLRN Miami Herald News special. Welcome to our town hall meeting on Florida's Session 2013. I'm Phil Latzman. We're at the Broward Center for the Performing Arts in Fort Lauderdale. Our guests for this special program, Senator Jack Latvala from Clearwater, Senator Chris Smith from here in Fort Lauderdale, Mary Ellen Kloss, who is the Miami Herald's Tallahassee Bureau Chief. When we come back, we'll shift gears into the issues of ethics and campaign finance reform. We'll take a break and come back in just a moment. And you are listening to a WLRN Miami Herald News special. Welcome to our town hall meeting on Florida's Session 2013. I'm Phil Latzman. We're at the Broward Center for the Performing Arts in Fort Lauderdale. Our guests for this special program, Senator Jack Latvala from Clearwater, Senator Chris Smith from here in Fort Lauderdale, Mary Ellen Kloss, who is the Miami Herald's Tallahassee Bureau Chief. We move on to the next topic, ethics and campaign finance reform.
My name is Carl Adams. I was a staff member in the Florida Senate and then became a lobbyist here in Tallahassee for about 30-plus years. We don't have major collective lobbyist groups that go out to do something unethical. But part of it, there's nothing illegal about giving $50,000 to a campaign, which is totally wrong.
All right. Thank you, Carl. Senator Latvala, Florida is number one in public corruption prosecutions. What do we have to do about that? And I know you're on the Ethics and Campaign Finance Reform Committee, so this is something you'll be hearing a lot about.
Well, you know, first of all, I think sort of ethics and elections is kind of an oxymoron. And so they went and found the only moron they could find to run this committee. But I'm trying to do the best I can, and I think we've come up with a bill that closes some loopholes. Let me just mention, I mentioned the conflict of interest. Right now, you can vote on something that you know you have a benefit from, a special personal gain from, and you just disclose it somewhere down the road. You won't be able to do that anymore. Right now, as a state legislator, and many of them do, they take advantage of their job as a legislator and they get another job in a local government at a school, a community college, university, water management district, or whatever, strictly because of their job as a legislator. When this bill is passed, you won't be able to do that anymore.
To the audience we go now with a live question from this young lady. Welcome to the panel. Good to have you here.
Hi, my name is Ryan Greenberg from Pembroke Pines. The importance of ethics reform became clear to me when I was attempting to find out more regarding the plans of Corrections Corporation of America, a private prison operator, to build the largest immigration detention center in the nation near my home in Southwest Ranches and near the schools our children attend. More information can be found on noprisonswr.org. My question is, why aren't we restricting companies who have business with a municipality, county, or the state from giving political donations so it stops the pay-to-play environment happening at all levels of government? The lobbying of our elected officials at all levels has gotten out of control and just needs to stop.
All right, thanks. Thanks for your comment. Mary Ellen Klossa, you hear a lot of these types of things, and you've done a lot of reporting through the Miami Herald on ethics and the Global Integrity Investigation, the Integrity Florida Investigation. You hear a lot of that same type of sentiment?
Yeah, I mean, there is a perception, I think, that there is a pay-to-play mentality in Tallahassee. There's no doubt about it. And it's hard not to draw conclusions when the checks are so large and there are no clear distinctions as to who it's intended for and what the purpose was. So people can draw any conclusion. A lot of times the agenda that's set in Tallahassee has to do with who are some of the biggest campaign contributors. Who it's often turf battles between two special interests, and often it's not something that's at all on the public's radar. One example this session is this fight that we see almost every year between the ophthalmologists and the optometrists. Mm-hmm. Well, the optometrists had an opportunity to bring six senators to dinner a couple weeks ago, and it was perceived as a, let's sit around and listen, but that would be illegal. So they told me that it was an opportunity for them to thank the head of the Optometrist Association for his campaign contributions. So, no matter what the requirements are, they're still going to find ways for loopholes. And I think that perception is there. There's no doubt about it.
Back to the audience now for another question from our PIN member here live. Welcome, sir.
Thank you. My name is Brett Berlin from Miami, Florida. My question is, how is the public good served by increasing contribution limits? Who is behind this initiative and why?
Senator Smith?
Well, that was an initiative that came out of, I think, the House in their discussion of the ethics bill to increase limits, I think, up to $10,000. From $500 to $10,000 is kind of a compromise. If you take away the CCEs, we'll increase the limits. That has fallen pretty much on deaf ears in the Senate. You've seen from the audience, and we're hearing from our constituents every day, that the amount of dollars within politics is getting outrageous, and to allow $10,000 from a single contributor to a single candidate just into their election campaigns would be wrong. But to go back to an earlier question, one way of handling this, you mentioned about Corrections Corporations of America gave a lot of money to both sides, to Republicans and Democrats. But because the issue was so important, and you contacted us about the issue of prison privatization, even though a lot of money was given to the parties, we were able to defeat that last year. And Senator Latvala and former Senator Bogdanoff were able to help out and defeat that issue because issues tramped dollars because you let us know about it. You let us know that we're watching and that we're going to watch what you do on this. And the issue got defeated even over the dollars.
And we're going to send it up to Gina Jordan, who has some more comments from our readers and social media folks. Gina?
Deborah from Miami writes, although difficult to pick only one issue, if our legislators conduct the state's business with integrity and ethics, the rest of the issues will take care of themselves, perhaps.
Now, we're going to move on to in open forum here for the last part of our program. We have another audience member through the Public Insight Network. Sir, welcome.
Thank you. My name is Barry Rabinowitz. I'm in Plantation, Florida. And my question is, the Miami Herald ran an expose last year on the assisted living facilities. And my question is, they shamed Tallahassee into doing some kind of hearings. Nothing happened in the last session. When will real reform and the laws be enforced to protect the inhabitants of assisted living facilities and not to protect the owners?
Senator Latvala?
Well, I do believe the Senate stepped up and did a major bill, a tough bill, on that last year, but it's a two-house legislature, and the House wouldn't agree with it.
And I think the gentleman said he's from Hollywood. Senator Eleanor Sobel from Hollywood is the chair of the committee, and she has filed another ALF bill in which she's trying to get tough. And like Senator Latvala says, we have another chamber. But I can tell you, Senator Sobel has been a champion on that issue. She's toured those facilities and have really been a champion pushing strong regulation of those facilities and to put more dollars into the inspection of those facilities. We're in a place where you have one person trying to inspect three counties, and there's no way they can make it around to all these facilities and see some of the egregious things that are happening in our communities.
We are giving the microphone to you. You're listening to our special town hall meeting on session 2013. The Florida legislature is set to convene. I'm Phil Latzman as we start to wrap things up here with Senator Jack Latvala and Senator Chris Smith, along with Mary Ellen Kloss, the Miami Herald's Tallahassee Bureau Chief. We've given the microphone to you for these last few minutes. We've heard a lot through our Public Insight Network, folks. Now is your chance to ask about some other things, and we have another audience member to ask another question. Sir, welcome.
Yeah, hi. My name is Matthew Schwartz from Fort Lauderdale. And soon after the election of Governor Rick Scott, Florida legislators voted to eliminate the Department of Community Affairs and its role as the only growth watchdog agency in the state. Little oversight remains for large projects with considerable impacts on the environment and Florida's wildlife. The Florida Department of Environmental Protection has determined that wildlife viewing is the second most popular outdoor activity in the state after going to the beach, and that's for both residents and tourists. So it's a huge part of our tourist-based economy. What role do you believe the Florida legislature should play in safeguarding our environment and wildlife in the future?
Senator Latvala.
Well, I voted against that provision, that bill, partly because of the way it was done, partly because it wasn't brought to the floor and debated and amended and so forth. It was done as part of the budget process. I'm one member. I do think that the growth management system was broken. And, you know, whether it's broken at the county level or the state level is probably a point of a lot of controversy. But unfortunately, like we tend to do with a lot of things, the legislature throws the baby out with the bathwater. I agree with you totally that we need to maintain the environment that brings a lot of our tourists and a lot of our new residents to Florida. I've always said that. I've been one of the major voices in the legislature on behalf of things like protecting the Everglades and protecting our beaches, and I will continue to do that. I think that this year's governor's budget headed in that direction. We've started. He's recommended that we $60 million for Everglades restoration. He's to recommend that we start the Florida Forever land buying again, setting aside land that these animals can be on. So, you know, it's been a tough time economically for the last 3 or 4 years, and maybe some of these types of programs didn't rise to the importance of basically educating our kids or keeping our population healthy, and that's why they've kind of been let go by the wayside. But I think we'll be back.
Okay, now one other question, maybe one of our final questions. We head back to the audience with another listener. Sir?
Good evening. Michael Rayner. Broward County is among few counties that have a domestic partnership registry for unmarried couples and a human rights ordinance to protect gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people from discrimination in employment, housing, and public accommodation. When will Tallahassee join the growing number of local governments and pass similar legislation, namely Families First and the Florida Competitive Workforce Act?
Thanks, Seth. I know that there was a bill recently proposed by Senator Sobel about this particular topic.
Yes, the Senate has started the discussion. Last week, it was a great day in the Florida Senate. Senator Eleanor Sobel, who filed legislation to that point, had actually a hearing, and it was discussed at length. And it takes sometimes, it takes a while for people to come around, and it starts with a single step. And I think the Florida Senate took that first step in acknowledging basic human rights for all Floridians. And I think the more we push and the more organizations push and the more our citizens push, I think from that first step, we will get there soon. But it takes a lot and it takes time, but it takes your voice to keep coming to Tallahassee and pushing the issue and making sure it stays on our plate. But the Florida Senate has started taking the first step.
All right, and we're going to begin to wrap things up here at the Broward Center by asking our legislators what their top priorities are for this upcoming session. And Senator Smith, why don't we start with you?
Well, top priority going in was definitely election reform and finding something with insurance. Now, I hate to keep harping back to it, but we're looking for ideas on insurance. I hear from constituents, but as I said, when I heard from my wife that my insurance had more than doubled, it really got on the plate. It gets real personal. And so one thing that I'm working on is trying to find a solution to help lower the insurance rates of all Floridians. And we're pushing the governor to go after the state compact, but looking for any ideas that will actually help us lower insurance rates. If we leave this legislation with a good, healthy budget that puts more dollars and try to restore the dollars back into education that were cut over the last couple of years, we do something about elections, which Senator Latvala and I are working very closely on, and if we at least stabilize insurance rates and try to lower insurance rates, I think we'll have a great year in the legislature.
And Senator Latvala, what do you say about your top priorities?
Well, I think he pretty much covered my top priorities, too.
Well, that's good that you agree.
My top priorities are the same as his with regards to elections and ethics. And then I have one other personal priority, and you're going to hear a lot about it, and I don't want you to believe everything you hear, but we have still in Florida some 400,000 foreclosure cases in the court system. And there's some things that need to be done about that system that I think can help consumers as well as help the real estate market. And I'm going to be involved in those issues. And, you know, unfortunately, whenever you get involved in those issues, some of the lawyers who make their living in those issues and who like the process to be drawn out and go over a long period of time, they distort a lot about what you're doing. But I think we have to get this backlog of foreclosures through the system before our home building is going to start again and before our real estate market, which has been one of the three legs of the economic stool in Florida traditionally through the years, before we can get that back to health. So that's another one I'm going to work on.
And we will give the final word to the Miami Herald's Tallahassee Bureau Chief. We've sat through many different topics here as this discussion has led on. What has stood out to you from what we've heard, Mary Ellen Kloss?
Well, I think it's been a really helpful discussion. It's been really broad and very good. And one thing that, just to close with, is I guess I'd urge everyone who's listening and everyone who's here in the audience to keep the pressure on. I think there are a lot of things that, you know, well-intentioned, that they start out with a high goal and things get whittled away in the compromise process. And one of those things, I think, is transparency. And I think that if the public demands and wants to see all these activities of government done in the sunshine, continue to demand it and don't let it be whittled away in compromise.
And that will do it for our special program. We'd like to thank Senator Chris Smith, Senator Jack Latvala, and Mary Ellen Kloss from the Miami Herald. Thank you so much, all of you. And that does it for our Town Hall on Session 2013. The event is a collaboration between the Miami Herald and WLRN, and it's supported by Global Integrity. Elaine Chen was our producer. Sammy Mack was our director. Alicia Zuckerman, Kenny Malone, and Ariana Prothero provided production support. Danny Rivero is our social media editor. Steph Farrow is our public inside network analyst. Our executive producer for WLRN is Peter J. Meritz. News director for WLRN Miami Herald News is Dan Gretsch. Our technical supervisor and engineer today has been Chris DeAngelis. For everyone here at the Broward Center for the Performing Arts, I'm Phil Latzman. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being here.